Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. On the campaign trail, Republican presidential hopeful John McCain has been talking the talk about energy and environmental issues, and recently putting more and more distance between himself and President Bush on climate change. On the stump, McCain talks passionately about global warming, but is he walking the walk? Living on Earth's Jeff Young has been investigating McCain's campaign rhetoric and his voting record in the Senate.
When Senator John McCain focuses on climate change, his campaign managers like to put him in a photo-op-friendly setting, like a solar equipment company, or in this case, the Vestas Wind Turbine Facility in Portland, Oregon.
Please say hello to Senator McCain. Thank you.
McCain's been a leader on climate change. 5 years ago, he authored the first major carbon cap bill to reach the Senate floor. And he brought climate scientists to the Capitol in nearly a dozen congressional hearings. Now, he wants independent-minded voters in battleground states like Oregon to know that on global warming, he's no George W. Bush.
Good stewardship, prudence, and simple common sense demand that we act to meet the challenge and act quickly. I will not shirk the mantle of leadership that the United States bears. I will not permit 8 long years to pass without serious action on serious challenges.
But as McCain distances himself from Bush, he also needs to reassure Republicans who remain concerned about the economic effects of a cap on carbon emissions. McCain says his cap-and-trade approach will work with the free market to encourage innovation and investment in cleaner energy sources. And he would allow CO2-intensive industry to make generous use of carbon offsets, things like paying farmers to capture the methane from animal enclosures. McCain says economists agree with him that offsets can keep the price of carbon emissions, and thus the price of energy, from rising sharply.
We want to turn the American economy toward cleaner and safer energy sources. And you can't achieve that by imposing costs that the American economy cannot sustain.
McCain says he will use diplomacy and trade to try to bring China into an international agreement on greenhouse gases. And in another break from Bush policy, he says he would not allow China's inaction to prevent the U.S. from moving ahead.
If the efforts to negotiate an international solution that includes China and India do not succeed, we still have an obligation to act.
McCain's targets for greenhouse gas reductions would have the U.S. return to its 1990 level of emissions by the year 2020. By mid-century, the U.S. would be 60% below that level. McCain policy advisor Doug Holtz-Aiken says it's a plan designed to strike a balance between climate science and political science.
So in an effort to make sure we get something done, he's tailored his proposal to be good on the science, good on the economy, and hopefully allow us to have some leadership in this issue in the world.
McCain's long-term target of 60% reductions is weaker than that proposed by Democratic candidates Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who want 80% cuts in greenhouse gases. But Eileen Clausen at the Pew Center on Global Climate Change says the short-term targets are probably more important in avoiding dangerous environmental damage.
I think he was good on the early date, 2005 levels in 2012, as aggressive as we have seen in the United States. Yes, his 60% is less than some of the 80%, and we probably do need 80%. But there will be lots of time to come back and actually redo that final number as we learn more and more about the science.
Clausen gives McCain's plan high marks, but other environmentalists are critical, especially when it comes to McCain's support for nuclear power. McCain says he wants the government to help the nuclear industry build 20 new nuclear reactors by the end of his first term as president. League of Conservation Voters President Gene Karpinski says that's the wrong place to put scarce government dollars.
Well, you know, one of the ironies is he did his event at a wind power facility, and he's unfortunately consistently opposed tax credits for wind power. On the other hand, he supports tax subsidies for a 50-year-old industry that doesn't know what to do with its waste, the nuclear power industry. So that really makes no sense.
Karpinski's group gives McCain a weak 24% rating for his congressional votes on environmental issues. McCain opposed a renewable electricity standard to require utilities to generate 10% of their power through wind, solar, or other clean energy sources. And more recently, McCain missed a chance to deliver the one thing the renewable energy companies need most. Let's go back to Senator McCain's speech at the Vestas facility.
Wind is modern energy, and Vestas is number one in modern energy.
Just before Vestas America President Jens Sobey introduced the senator, he made this appeal for support.
We need a long-term energy policy, and we need a short-term extension of the production tax credit. Please.
Wind power only works with government support. In Denmark, where Vestas is headquartered, wind power enjoys generous, stable subsidies, making it the world's leader in wind turbines. But in the U.S., tax credits for wind power come in short periods of a year or two, and they are set to expire this year. Dan Weiss at the liberal-leaning Center for American Progress says the Senate considered a bill this winter that would have extended those tax credits.
Last December, there was a vote to shift about $2 billion a year in tax breaks for big oil and invest them instead in clean, renewable energy like wind, solar, and geothermal power. That vote failed by one vote. The only person who didn't vote was John McCain.
McCain advisor Holtz Aiken blames the busy presidential campaign schedule.
He had campaign commitments. He was unable to attend the vote. And that's one of many votes where he's been asked, what would have happened. You can't relive history.
As it turns out, McCain had a chance to relive that vote just 2 months later. In February, the same energy tax proposal came up again. Again, just one vote would have made the difference, and again, McCain was absent. On the day of that vote, McCain was in Washington, about a 15-minute drive from the Capitol Dome, speaking to the Conservative Political Action Conference. Well, since then, he's devoted more of his time to campaign fundraising. Sheila Krumholtz tracks campaign money at the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics, which runs the website Open Secrets. Krumholtz says McCain has had remarkable success in recent months getting money from the energy sector, including oil and gas.
John McCain is now the number one recipient of oil and gas money in this cycle, with $515,000 so far.
She says that's probably not all the oil and gas money McCain's getting. Like most campaigns, McCain uses so-called money bundlers to raise cash. These influential people pledge to raise a certain amount from acquaintances. McCain's bundlers include some big names from big oil, like Houston oil man and former Commerce Secretary Bob Mosbacher, Kit Moncrief of the Moncrief oil family, and Texas oil lobbyist Gaylord Huey Jr. Together, those three have pledged to raise nearly $500,000. Krumholtz says that might clash with McCain's maverick image.
There will be something of a rhetorical dance explaining both his platform, which has been so stridently opposed to special access for special interests, at the same time that he's collecting more and more money from these very interests.
There's no doubt McCain's been a climate crusader, and his campaign insists he remains committed to the cause. But a weak voting record on clean energy and his newfound friends in big oil cloud that image and could make it tougher for McCain to win over the climate-conscious voters he's seeking. For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young in Washington.
To hear more of Jeff's interview with Senator McCain's climate advisor, check out our website at loe.org.